I have something I really need to read to you. One day a group of scientists got together, decided that man had come a long ways and they no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go tell him that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, "God, we've decided we no longer need you. We're to the point where we can clone people. We can do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go on?" God listened very patiently and kindly to the man. After the scientist was done, God said, "Very well. How about this? Let's say we just have a man-making contest." To which the scientist replied, "Okay, great." And God added, "Now, we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam." The scientist said, "Sure, no problem." He bent down, he grabbed himself a handful of dirt. God just looked at him and said, No. You get your own dirt." I just think that's funny. I saw a little sign a few weeks ago. It said, "Cremation is my last chance to have a smoking hot body." This is kind of sick, isn't it? It wasn't my sign. I just read it. That's all. It wasn't mine. We're going to do, changing the subject ever so slightly. We're going to do two, I just call them commissioning prayers. One is at the beginning, the other is at the end. And what I want to do, I don't know how this works for you. I'll start picking up a burden or vision for certain things days preceding a Sunday service or another gathering that I'm going to be at. Start picking up certain things that I feel like we need to do. And coming into this week, I felt like, again, the Lord wanted to breathe on the breakthrough in finances for people. And it's not going to be the sermon topic. It's not going to be what we study at all. I don't think I can make it come close. But I did feel like we're supposed to pray specifically for that, for one another. I believe so strongly in a reformation taking place that includes the economy. And for that to happen, there has to be certain values in place, and there has to be permission given to the people of God to create, to reproduce. I know a friend of mine, Peter Wagner, is a wonderful man, has written a book entitled The Great Transfer of Wealth, and just recently came out. And in that, he discusses the fact that he believes that the biblical standard for investment in increase is 100% return every year. I don't know. That sounds good to me. I don't understand it, but sign me up, you know. But the purpose, and here's the deal. Number one, radical generosity. Number two, contentment. And number three, wisdom to manage well for increase. And I feel like as a people, the Lord wants us to make kind of like, well, like a covenant, an agreement with the Lord that we could see things take place in our lifetime that were thought to be impossible. But they're possible because the people of God say yes to his purposes. I personally, one of my biggest dreams is to see families who have been locked into cycles of poverty for multiple generations to see that changed. And it's not changed because we throw money at it, but there has to be money involved. And so I want us as individuals, as families, as a church family to always have enough to address what's in front of us. And to do that well, there's just a different way of living, a different way of thinking. And so I want you to stand. We're going to pray together over this. Then we'll open the Word and study a portion of Scripture. And then at the end, we'll do another one, but it'll be completely different. But what I actually did, to be honest with you, is I had two things I felt I was supposed to do today. And I thought, well, I might as well just talk in between those two things. So that's what the message is. It's just random talking in between two things. All right? So I'll make it fit somehow, but let's just pray. This time I want you to grab a hand because we're praying for not only an individual, but a corporate breakthrough. You don't have any communion supplies in your hand, so this one's more doable. Yeah. here it is. I want us to pray for a corporate breakthrough. That means a new measure of creativity, new insight, new wisdom. We say yes to generosity. Say yes with me. We say yes to contentment. No materialistic competition. We don't. You're so good. Just repeat whatever I say. Yay, amen. And then finally, we just say yes to wisdom. And Father, my prayer is that there would be a new measure of breakthrough again. We thank you for wave after wave after wave of breakthrough you've given us through the years. But I ask again that you would breathe on the creativity, breathe on the favor, on the people who have come here offering themselves so willingly to represent you and to create a place where generosity is the norm, creativity is the norm, breakthrough is the norm. I pray that you would make this, just outside of the prayer, I do call Reading the Geneva of God, because I believe the Lord wants to do that here. So I just pray that, God, that you would raise the standards of excellence in this place that would speak of your honor and glory. Everybody said, amen, amen. All right, go ahead and sit down. We got one more of those later. Okay, take your Bibles, open to Acts 13. I found out, by the way, we played the video for you on this instrumental CD is just ridiculously good. It's just outrageous. It's just so wonderful. And I want to see the whole video. So we're gonna round up away to next Sunday. We'll just play the whole. Yeah. Yeah. Next Sunday, yes? Yes, good. All right. So you just have to come back because you'll want to see the whole video. And it's so good. Christine's album is so good too. I bought them both this week. Actually, I didn't either buy hers. She gave it to me. But I would have bought it. Actually, I think I did buy it. I think I bought it. I bought it online, I think. So anyway, never mind. I always buy her albums even though they give them to me for free. I want to buy them. I want it to cost me something. So all right. Acts 13. Are you there?
Yes. Kids are selling cookies.
Kids are selling cookies? Are you selling cookies, Chris? Are you just messing with me?
Yes.
Kathy, would you knock that spirit thing off him? You've tried. It doesn't work. Shake him. Shake him. That's it. Oh, my. Oh, my. I saw it leave. I did. I saw it leave. That's in case you don't know, that's my brother. That large man that just ran up here, it's my little brother. So. All right, let's get moving or I'll never get through this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read through one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. And I want us to look at it for the biblical revelation that it gives. I want us to look at it for the biblical history that it gives. But ultimately, I want to use it as a template for breakthrough for every individual in this room. And so what takes place in the story is a commissioning. And at the end of the meeting, I want to pray for everyone in the room. I honestly wish there were time to lay hands on everyone, but because there isn't, I have to believe that God ordained it to happen through decree and through prayer. But I feel like every person in this room is supposed to be commissioned into your place of service. For example, if you're a housewife, I want you to do it as commissioned of the Lord. If you're a doctor, if you're you work down at the gas station managing a store, it doesn't matter to me what you do, but that every person would embrace their assignment as having been commissioned of the Lord. And so that's what we're going to pray for today. I really feel like there's a grace for the financial breakthrough and a grace for the commissioning. So let's just look at the story, and I'll try to summarize some things for you as we go. All right. Verse 1, Acts 13. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul. Now, proconsul would be like a governor. The proconsul of Cyprus Island, it would be like a governor representing Rome over that region, all right? So the proconsul, a Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, he called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil." Nice. You know, tell us what you're thinking, Paul. Just don't hold anything back here. "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." Sometimes it just has to be said. "You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Stop right there. I love this story for a whole bunch of reasons. I like the fact that a group of people met together and they were ministering to the Lord. This is the only time I remember, anyway, where that phrase is used in the New Testament, where they ministered to the Lord. The implication, of course, is in thanksgiving and praise and in worship, we come before the Lord and actually serve him. We attend to him. It's a concept that was well established in the old. It was carried out in the practice of the new, but it wasn't spoken of because it didn't need to be. It was already ingrained in their culture. But here in this particular passage, we see them fasting, praying, ministering to the Lord. And in that environment, God spoke and said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul." Saul was converted four chapters earlier. He was converted. He became later known as the Apostle Paul. But at this point, his name, he's still called Saul. He was converted dramatically and radically by visitation of God as he was on the road to Damascus. The Lord appeared and politely knocked him off his donkey and then began to change his life. But that's a story for another time. So during this process, here they come. They're meeting with a group of leaders. If you notice in verse, I think it's the first verse, says, called them prophets and teachers. Now here's Barnabas and Saul. They weren't called apostles at this time. At this point, they were in a group and they were identified as prophets and teachers. While they are together, the Holy Spirit comes on the group and identifies, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul, send them away for the work that I want to do." Here's one of the main points I want to make, is the value of setting aside time to meet with the Lord without an agenda. We don't have any record of why they met together. All we know is they were fasting and praying. Agendas are good. Agendas are our prayer list. Agendas are the things that we carry into the presence of the Lord. I'm concerned about this situation, you know, in a business. I'm concerned about this family. I'm concerned about whatever. Those things are very appropriate to bring to the Lord, but there's no listing of why they came together. All we know is that these leaders felt it was time to set aside time to meet with the Lord. And to intensify the focus, they fasted. I hate fasting. You know, if you're too busy to eat, turn it into a fast. Get some points out of it. That's my philosophy. As if, you know, you just don't have time to eat, just declare, I am fasting. And just try to get something. We've done much of it, and we will do more. So don't be offended by my horrible sense of humor. But there are reasons. Well, never mind. I bought another cookbook this week, by the way. I did. I bought another cookbook this week. For those of you that are visiting, I tend to buy cookbooks only when I'm fasting, because I'm planning the rest of my life. But this week, I wasn't fasting, and I bought a cookbook. So how did I get there? Fasting, yes. Help me, Jesus. Imagine this. You're meeting with a few friends. We don't know if they were together for several days, an afternoon, a day. We don't know. Let's just say it was a day. They decide to spend some time together just to pray. They decide, let's fast. And they don't have an assignment that we know of. They don't have a focus or a direction. All they want to do is create an atmosphere, an incubator, where things can get birthed. And they spend this time with the Lord, and as they are ministering to the Lord spoke. It would be an interesting study, I would challenge any of you to do, look at the times that God spoke throughout Scripture. Oftentimes he did it when people were in process. They were doing something. They were plowing the field, so to speak. They were involved in their assignment. They had already said yes to something. They were doing it, and that's when God spoke. There was a time for Moses. He walks by a burning bush. It says, when he turned aside, God spoke. So generally, there's activity going on in a person's life when God speaks. And you would say, well, Bill, they're inactive. They're just praying. But that was the activity. It's not inactivity. It's refined activity. Right? It's focused activity. You can't live like this every day. You can't fast every day. Except at night, between going to bed and when you get up in the morning. I try to take nothing to bed to eat. I try to fast that whole time. But practically speaking, we can't fast every day of our life. It's just not a practical thing we can do. You die. So it's not a practical lifestyle, but it is practical to be able to say, all right, I'm going to take this day, this afternoon, this two-hour break, I'm going to take something, and I'm going to sit before the Lord, and I'm going to minister to him. I don't have an agenda. I'm not looking for something. I just want to meet with him. And something happens in that interaction. Things get birthed. Things get released. What got released here? The most powerful missionary movement got birthed in this prayer meeting when they sent out Barnabas and Saul. When they sent them out, that became the most profound missionary movement of its day. Let me put it a different way. After that prayer meeting, they did something that impacted the course of history for the entire known world. It came out of that quiet time where they just ministered to the Lord and he spoke and they did what he said. Some of these moments that we have with the Lord, we don't know ahead of time what he's going to do. We don't go in, you know, filled with understanding and wisdom and insight on this is what God's about to release. We have no idea. We don't know what we're doing. He does. We come before him and he speaks. When he speaks, a reality is released into the earth. Biblically, while I don't have time to establish this, biblically, when God speaks, he's looking for an amen. And the amen has to come from his servants that gives that twofold witness, if you will, of what God wants to accomplish in the earth. So they take Barnabas and Saul, they set them aside, and they send them out. They apostolize them. This is when they actually became apostolized, if you will, sent out to change the culture of the cities and nations they would minister in. It's an interesting ring. Okay, it's all right. I believe you'll find it. I always want to take mine, throw it up and go, pull. Sorry, I just embarrassed somebody. I didn't mean to. Nobody look over there. Look here. That's so horrible. Never mind. Just Benny's not here today, or she would be looking at me. You know, in here where it says, and Paul looked intently. How many of you have had that intent look from Chris before? That's what it reminds me of. And my wife also has that intent look. So, all right, back to the story. So here's this moment where they just separate themselves unto the Lord. They minister to him. He speaks, and something is released out of this handful group of people that I'm sure they sense was a certain sense of significance. That became so exponentially more significant once they obeyed the word of the Lord that it was impossible for them to comprehend what just took place. Only in heaven can you look back and see the full effect. And when we take time, I have a businessman friend who's extremely wealthy. He's an unusual man in this. I wish I knew how to say this better. He's ridiculously wealthy, and he's one of the most humble men I've ever met. And to have that combination is brilliant. And what he does is he'll take a couple hours a day without an agenda and just come and soak in the presence of the Lord. And in that place that becomes the incubator, the place where God speaks, that's where he gets ideas for what he's supposed to do. He literally just gives himself everything that he has for the Lord to breathe on, to bless, to direct, to trim, to prune, to do whatever he wants to do. He's there literally as a living offering. And that's what I feel these moments are for, that God wants to birth some things in the earth, but he's looking for people that not only have their prayer list, but also have a blank page that he can write on and just meet with him, just enjoy him, watch what happens. As they are sent out, the first thing they do is they run into a sorcerer. Their first assignment has opposition. And this sorcerer is attached to this governor of this island. This sorcerer is there to keep this man from seeing the truth, from coming to faith in Christ. And so he is recognized as a very powerful individual. And when they come there, Saul sees this man and the spirit of divination, the sorcery thing that's on him. He looks at him intently and he begins to rebuke and put that man in his place. When he does so, that man comes under the power of the Holy Spirit. What's interesting to me is here, we had a situation years ago where Chris ministered to somebody in the back of the room here that was levitating. And that's interesting. That's not something you see every day. And it was an occultist who happened to be brought here by somebody who wanted him to see what real power was like. So he's floating in the back of the room. Chris went back and began to pray for him. And the guy slid down the wall and was literally frozen on the ground and was unable to move. Well, it's wonderful if you're a preacher because you have a captive audience. You have somebody who... You know, where are you going to go? You can't go anywhere, you know. It was one of those moments. But the Lord really gave, I love this story, Chris. The Lord really gave Chris wisdom on what to speak, began to minister to him word of knowledge, identify where the whole sorcery thing happened in his life, took him back in his childhood through word of knowledge, and identified some stuff, spoke life to him, but felt he was not supposed to try to lead him to the Lord at that moment. That takes tremendous wisdom to know when to harvest. What did Paul do here? How many of you know, most of us, if we were able to say, and a mist from heaven will come upon you and you will not see for days and God is going to blind you because he's going to show you his power and his love, most of us would want to lead that person immediately into a sinner's prayer. Yes? No? Because we operate often by principle instead of by presence. And when you live with that awareness of a person, you can feel his heartbeat and you know where to plant, where to water, and where to harvest. Does that make sense? And so that's what the Lord's looking for, is the people he can entrust, that he can trust in any environment, any situation, because they'll know what's needed in the moment. They don't live to get another notch on the back of their Bible. Right? All right. So here's the deal. The Lord commissions Barnabas and Saul. and they run into this demonic blockage to breakthrough. Paul deals with it, and after he deals with it, his name is changed to Paul. I don't know when it was changed, but from this point on, he's referred to as Paul, not Saul. And previous to this, for three chapters, it has been Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas was the fatherly type who took Saul when he had this reputation for killing people, persecuting the church. He embraced him in the midst of his bad reputation as a dad, gave him opportunity to rise up above his own personal experience. And as a great encourager, which was what Barnabas's name means, son of encouragement, he created an environment for Saul to become all that God intended. And in this case, it surpassed Barnabas's personal gifting and breakthrough. Are you with me? All right. So, which is the sign of a real dad. A real dad is not at all jealous of a son that exceeds him, that goes beyond. And that's what you see in Barnabas. Chris did a great word teaching on this just a little bit last Sunday night. So here's this situation. Barnabas, Saul. Sorcerer. From that point on, it's not just Barnabas and Paul. It's Paul and Barnabas. Because something happened in this demonic resistance that propelled him to a promotion. Your promotion is on the other side of opposition. You're actually designed for victory. You're designed for victory, which means you're wired, and everything about you is wired for triumph. And the only way you're going to know it is if there's opposition. The only way you'll discover what authority looks like lived out is when there's opposition. So here they are commissioned on this great missionary journey. If you can see from heaven, okay, here's the very beginning. I'm going to send you to this place. This is your first city you're going to minister in. Yeah, you'll be doing this for a lot of years and you're going to have great success, but I'm going to put a devil worshiper right in front of you at the very beginning, just because I want you to know who you are. I mean, is that weird or what? The Lord just actually raises up, flushes him out, if you will. He doesn't anoint him. He doesn't assign him, but he flushes him out into the open. The devil's best role is in the back pew of the church. He doesn't like to be exposed. So whenever he's exposed, it's because it's his last card. It's not his best card. Okay. So the Lord exposes this guy who's trying to poison the mind of this governor who has an inbuilt hunger for God. He wants to hear the word of the Lord. And so he invites Barnabas and Saul so he can hear, but there's this blockage, and it's called his friend, who's the sorcerer. Paul deals with the guy. Suddenly there's this promotion in authority where you now see the charge being led by this apostle, Paul, who ends up writing a significant portion of the New Testament. The point is, quiet times with God birth significant things. And whatever it births must have opposition, or you will not know the strength of the word that's released over your life. It's the truth. It's the truth. There has to be opposition. I was toying with something today that I didn't really have the clearance or the nerve or something to do, maybe another day, but I'll just give you a little teaser, and perhaps you'll see why I couldn't do it today. I feel like there's a gift of anger that God wants to release. Some of you are going, I already have that one. I just, those kids, that boss, no, not that kind of gift. I just opened a hole that I'm about to dive into, see if I can recover. There is a passivity that has been exalted as being Christ-like. And things happen around us that are supposed to matter. They're supposed to cause pain. And if they don't cause me pain and they don't provoke me to a righteous anger, then I'm dead. I'm dead to what's supposed to be happening inside of me. But that anger is not released or aimed at people. And that's the challenging part. is many people get this religious thing on them where they're angry and they start accusing and writing nasty letters and doing all the stuff in Jesus' name, of course, calling it righteous indignation. It's not. It's just stupid. It's just stupidity. True anger says, this is not happening on my shift. I've had enough. I've had enough. And we give ourselves to pray because there's a power at work that must be shut down. That's what I wasn't going to say today. No, I had purpose to not tell you anything about that, so I'm glad I succeeded. Paul and Barnabas were commissioned into a role, into an assignment, into a ministry. And in that commissioning, they had such backing of divine purpose that obstacles were breakfast. Obstacles became the breakfast of champions. There's this interesting passage in Psalms 105 that talks about God preparing Israel for greatness and strength. Through his promises, he raised them up with great authority, great strength, great victory. The very next verse, it says, and he riled up the enemies of Israel to attack them. It's a weird verse. God says, all right, I got you all ready for battle. All right. Brace yourself. Na, 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 na. It's in there. What is he doing? Why? Do you think the devil knows you have more authority than he does? Oh, yeah. Then why would he attack? Because he forgets. I better just leave that one, but I'll let you figure it out. The Lord has so prepared you for triumph that he's not nervous about riling up opposition against you. Why? Because what God has promised to you is on the other side of an obstacle. It's on the other side of a conflict. It's on the other side of a problem. I'm not saying people, and we have to make sure that we understand. We talk about anger. We talk about indignation. We're talking about that takes us into the secret place that says, Father, we've had enough. We want this land to turn to you. We want to be burning ones that represent you well. We want to love the most broken among us with great compassion and power. And that's our cry. In public, we just show compassion. But that thing that drives us takes us into the presence of the Lord where we just say, we've had enough. We've got to have a restoration of a nation, of a city, etc. So we've got this obstacle. And the Syrophoenician woman had a daughter that was demonized and sick. She came to Jesus. Jesus said, I can't give the children's bread to dogs. The whole point he was making, I was sent to minister to Jews after the death and resurrection. The gospel is for everyone. But he had an assignment. And he looked at her and she said, even the children's bread is given, or the crumbs are given to dogs. And Jesus recognized faith and understanding that can only come from the Father. And that, I believe, is the way he realized what the Father was doing in that situation, and he brought healing to it. What's the point? Syrophoenician lady had an obstacle, a hurdle. And instead of being offended, she saw the purposes of God and pressed in, got over the hurdle, and entered a realm called the kingdom. You were born for something that is on the other side of your biggest opposition. You were born for something that is on the other side of a conflict, of a difficulty, of a thing to sort through in your mind, how we think, how we process, how we value ourselves, how we recognize our call. There's something upon every one of us that needs to be expressed, but it cannot be fully expressed without us walking through a challenge, a difficulty. And I feel like this template is this. It's ministering to the Lord. It's taking aside time. It may be, you know, a Saturday afternoon. You just kind of withdraw for a couple hours and you're just there. Maybe a friend and you just worship and pray together and no big agenda. You're not binding and loosing, praying this, praying that. You're just there to minister to the Lord. And in that environment, things get birthed out of us. Things get released from us that start shaping the course of history. I believe God wants to release something out of that incubator of his presence that become equal to the greatest missionary movement in all of history that was born out of that prayer meeting. That's what he wants to do. That while they were fasting, while they were ministering to the Lord spoke. And when he spoke, he created a momentum. He created people for an assignment that would impact nations of the world, and out of which we got a very large part of our New Testament, birthed in a prayer meeting where there was a commission. The commission of the Lord is extremely significant. And my desire as I came to this morning and had been moved by this chapter this week, the thing that's in my heart is I want everyone to feel as commissioned of the Lord for your assignment as Barnabas and Saul, as Paul and Barnabas. That sense of commission that God said, he breathes on you and he says, here's your assignment, work in that dentist office. Here's your assignment, raise those kids for my glory. Here's your assignment, minister in this children's class. Here's your assignment. Whatever it is that you and I, our hands find to do, that we would have that sense of commissioning. Why? Because in that environment, things can happen that actually affect the course of history. It means I have to be more impressed with the commission than I am the obstacle. It means I have to be more impacted by the one who assigned me, not the flashiness of my assignment. That's not what should impress us. It's who said he'd go with us. That's what should impress us. Who gave us the commission and who said he would go with us? That should cause us to shake in our boots. So I want to pray. I want to pray a commissioning prayer. And so I'm going to have you stand. I love the privilege of any time that I have with you. I love it more than you could possibly ever know. And one of the things that I like the most is when we get one of those moments in God where I can tell there's something we're supposed to do. It may be Chris up here doing his shaking service. Honestly, is I love it. That's brilliant. It may be those kinds of moments where things just start to break loose. Things just start to clear up. It may be a prophetic song that is sung. It may be a message that we hear or a guest that we have come and do what he does. It doesn't matter. It's just those divine moments. We've had them where we've prayed through the offering reading. We've taken the entire service just to pray through that and pray for people. And as awkward as it feels, it was right because he was breathing on it. And there was fruit before the day was over. Miracle fruit financially before the day was over. I feel like this is one of those moments. I feel like this is a divine moment. Believe me, I wouldn't take the time for this just out of principle. I really have felt this week that this is what God wanted to do. He wanted to breathe on the labor of your hands. He wanted to breathe on the work, the contribution that you make to people's lives. It may be you're retired, you're a grandparent, and you spend half your day taking care of your grandchildren. Wow. Grandma and grandpa raising up world changers. That is awesome. Commissioning the Barnabas and Sauls into the mission fields of the world. This is what the Lord is doing. This is what the Lord is doing. I feel like this is one of those moments. So I'm going to pray over you. I'm not sure how just yet, but put your hands in front of you just as a symbol of whatever our hands find to do, we do with all of our might. Those who are watching on Bethel TV, the same thing. Just join with us, because I feel like the Lord wants us to capture the purpose of our assignment so that everything we put our hands to do takes on the influence of God, the presence of God, the breakthrough that only God can bring about. So, Father, once again, we give ourselves to you as a living offering. We give ourselves to you. And in this moment, I pray for the release of a commissioning anointing over every household, over every individual, even every child that is in our child's care and ministry right now. Every person on the property, I pray, let there be a mantle, a commissioning mantle released over every single person. And that from this day, we would see the fruit born out of you going with us, ensuring victory for the opposition we face. I thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of loving and caring for people, but being intolerant of evil that exists in heavenly realms. And so I pray right now, let there be a release of wisdom, a release of grace, and a mantle for breakthrough in every one of our assignments. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right. I want to have ministry team come to the front real quickly, if you would. And what we're going to do is we're going to open the front up for prayer. We've already done it during communion, but we still don't like to leave until everyone's had a chance to receive ministry. We want, if you don't know the Lord, everyone listen up. Don't except for those coming forward on the team. Everyone else, listen up for a moment. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, please do not leave the building until you've made that covenant with God. We've got a group right over here with this banner, and they are friends or people that I know and trust. And I encourage you, go over there with a friend if you need to, but go and talk to them, and they will pray with you. There may be some issues about your walk with the Lord that you really need help on, whatever it might be. We've got wonderful people here that really love and care for you. So I want to encourage you, come and receive some ministry. Come on up and just finish this for me. Tell them what to do. Tell them what they've won.
Let me tell you what you've won. What a great word, huh? Thank you, Pastor Bill. Again.
Thank you for joining us. On our website, ibethel.org, we have our pastors' itineraries who may be visiting a place near you. Danny Silk will be in Brandenburg, Germany, August 6th through the 9th, and Bill Johnson will be in Nashville, Tennessee, August 10th through the 14th. Now, we want to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests, you can email them to pastor@bethel.tv. Our team would love to pray for you. And be sure to send us your testimonies as well. We've recently heard a testimony from Jackie Durant, who was ministering to a woman in Portland. This woman had an illness involving three nerves causing extreme pain in her jaw. As Jackie was praying, she felt the Holy Spirit and asked if this woman had experienced three injustices in her life that made her feel like she had to keep her mouth shut. The woman began to sob and said yes, and as they prayed, the pain was eliminated. We pray that the justice and redemption of God would come into every area of your life, eliminating all pain and disease. We release the goodness of God over you by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can receive every good thing that Jesus paid for. Thank you for watching Bethel TV and joining us and our Bethel family around the world. We hope to see you again soon.